Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
The down cycle doesn't change our thesis. We're not taking our foot off the gas. If anything, we need to continue to fund this space to innovate quickly. We're just being smarter on how we're directing our effort, and venture is another tool in our toolkit that allows us to be more flexible and ensure that we're addressing the highest priorities for our customers.
Welcome to Ag Bioscience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinova CEO, Mitch Fraser.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. It's been a tough couple years in agriculture for farmers. Net cash farm income is expected to decrease nearly $6 billion in 2024. That follows a decrease in 2023 of nearly $58 billion. It's a tough sled for many farmers, and there's companies who are working to bring new innovations to farmers to help them overcome the headwinds that exist in the global ag economy. One of those is AgCo, and Alex Resimagno from AgCo Ventures joins us now. Alex, welcome to Ag Bioscience.
Mitch, thank you so much for having me. I'm such a fan of the podcast, so this is an absolute pleasure.
Well, I am elated you're here in such an interesting time, I think, Alex, of where we are in the cycle. Definitely a cyclical nature, a cyclical economy. And I look back just less than a month ago when your CEO, AgCo CEO Eric Hansotia, said that 2024, I'm reading this from the transcript, has brought a significant contraction in the ag industry compared to the highly profitable years farmers saw in 21 to 23. That's a bold statement, a really clear statement from a public company CEO. I think it's important, Alex, as we think about what's ahead in ag, to really put some perspective on where are we right now in the ag, specifically the ag tech, ag equipment industry.
As many of your listeners know, it's a time of low commodity prices and tighter profit margins, and these all continue to impact farmer sentiment and equipment demand across brands. And after several years of strong equipment sales, many farmers have newer fleets. There's less urgency to buy, and farmers are becoming more careful with their equipment purchases. But there are some positive signs. Some recent data is indicating that prices for corn, soybeans, and wheat may have stabilized. In the U.S. and Canada, some forecasts showing that low horsepower equipment sales are potentially growing. And improved conditions in Brazil have raised some forecasts and indicating growth maybe even in 2025 or 2026. And then Australia and New Zealand experienced a spike in demand in October with some upward forecasts for 2025. But as you mentioned, this is the nature of our business. It's cyclical. No one knows if and when we're at the trough and when overall demand for new equipment will pick up. But the positive is that the long-term trends are creating a huge need for innovation. The world's population is rising above 8 billion and on a path to 10 billion by 2050. There's increasing demand for protein, increasing demand for biofuel, and need to conserve natural resources, especially water. And of course, there's labor challenges, and all of these things present great opportunity for venture.
It's a really unique opportunity. I often reflect on the idea that austerity creates opportunity. And when you find yourselves in these environments, opportunities begin to emerge. Alex, you are part of the team really digging into where these opportunities begin to materialize. How are you thinking about this current economy as a corporate venture investor? And what are some of those opportunities that have begun to emerge?
Exactly. Like you said, it's a tough environment for corporates. Earnings and sales are down, budgets are pulling back, and it's also a tough environment for startups. Deals and valuations, exits are coming up a bit, but they're still relatively low. But those who successfully innovate during a downturn will win in the long run. So we think it's a great time to be building our corporate venturing capabilities. It gives us really a dedicated function for building a presence in the venture ecosystem so that we can better understand the challenges and opportunities out there, but not just those in front of us, but be the binoculars for 5-10 years out of what technologies are coming down the pipeline. And this overall helps us inform our product roadmap and identify where investment is needed to accelerate R&D. And we think our corporate strategy is not only going to generate, but attract opportunities in the market. So through the PTX brand, we have this retrofit and aftermarket first strategy, meaning technology we commercialize doesn't need to be tied to AgCo products. That's huge for startups and offers a really great market opportunity for them. And then AgCo broadly has a global distribution in over 180 countries and the expertise and relationships to introduce and scale products in the market. So not only are we an investor, but we're the largest global pure play ag OEM. So I think about our Farmer First strategy really being a strong lever in helping us identify investment opportunities by continuing to keep our ears close to the ground and addressing problems most pressing to our customers. And we believe this all positions us as an investor of choice for startups seeking to address industry problems with the help of industry expertise and skill from a strategic investor.
Alex, I'm so glad you hit go-to-market. I think it's one of the greatest significant challenges ag tech, ag bioscience companies have faced. AGCO, a giant global distribution company, largest pure play OEM. When you look at the ag industry, you made a giant move. The company made a giant move earlier this year, sent shockwaves through the industry, formed PTX, Trimble, that you just mentioned, acquisition of Trimble, a big deal, creating this JV to be PTX. But it wasn't the only thing that happened in that era. There was also another big move that was sort of deeper in the story of AGCO and all the things innovation go to market. This is when AGCO Ventures launched as well, right?
That's right. So we established AGCO Ventures to make sure that we have the right systems in place to both collaborate with and invest in early stage companies. But the activity of minority investing isn't new to AGCO. We've just now formalized a process and approach. And so when we think about our M&A and JV activity, this now complements that build versus buy conversation and acts as an extension of R&D to fund the development of more specific solutions that match our customers' needs. So you can think of AGCO Ventures as now more formally a center of the funnel. So we're building this presence and relationship with startups, VCs, other corporates, universities, and accelerators, and then making the connection to the right stakeholders internally. And now that can be one of the hardest parts for a startup is just simply navigating a large organization and then getting your message to the right decision makers. And then for large corporates, it's how a lot of opportunities get missed. So in that, we act as a first screen, but in the process have now developed a better system to better balance reactive deal flow with proactive scouting. So in meeting and working closely with our internal product and engineering and business leads across the organization, we understand what technologies are of interest. We collect problem statements and then leverage this now robust network that we've built to identify partners with the right solutions with more privileged deal flow. And we do all of this with the goal of prioritizing partnership, commercialization, and collaboration opportunities first. And we only invest to the extent that it's adding value above and beyond what we can accomplish alone through a simple commercial relationship or supplier relationship, and where we can ensure there's actually an incremental and a mutual exchange of value.
I think it's such a powerful market intelligence tool that's bidirectional. This idea that you have the largest ag equipment OEM in field, on farm, understanding, hearing, seeing, sensing. And then now you also have this muscle that's been built to say, okay, let's find innovation companies that are doing really interesting things to understand what they are and being able to match that supply and demand of innovation. What are you seeing? What's in the portfolio today? What are you excited about that sits inside AGCO Ventures?
We have made a few investments before AGCO launching AGCO Ventures formally. And so that includes Apex AI, which is autonomy and automation software, and GreenEye, which has successfully brought to market a retrofit precision spraying system. And we have great relationships with these companies, and we're committed to supporting their commercialization, their growth, and identifying opportunities for synergy together. But I want to just say that with the formalization of AGCO Ventures, we're even more focused on acting really as a strategic investor first and a financial one second. So what this means is any company we invest in must have a strategy that aligns to AGCO's corporate strategic priorities, has a pathway to collaboration or commercialization with us. And this is really just so we can ensure that there's real business sponsorship and accountability for supporting that relationship and the startup's growth long term. And then third, that it demonstrates an investment that would drive incremental and mutual value for both us and the startup. And because the last thing that we want to do is just hold space on a cap table. We want to confidently drive value beyond a check that's going to position us both for success in the long term. And ultimately, that helps us enable and optimize the ROI of our portfolio. But commercializing something takes time. We've started this process with a few companies and we're keeping the bar high. We're just going for more quality over quantity. But we also just need to make sure it's the right time for both of us to engage in that kind of relationship. Because some startups, it might be too early for us. We're still a corporate and we're more risk averse than the average VC. And then for startups, taking on strategic too soon can sometimes limit their growth because corporates are slow and they're ultimately beholden to the mothership. So with that mindset in place, we still want to make sure we're catalyzing and capitalizing the industry and identifying the right opportunities, all while building our pipeline and network. So since launching AGCO Ventures, we have made a few investments into ag tech focused venture capital funds. So the first one we announced was with Innova Memphis. And so we identified them as a super strong fit from the start. They just really understand rural broad acre ag. on-farm hardware, and they have a really unique pipeline in iForFarmer-founded companies. But because they're an RBIC fund, they're limited to U.S.-based opportunities. And so much of our business is global, so especially in Europe and South America, so we need a dedicated partners and representation in these other places in the world.
I think this power of constant experiments, being able to have lots of different shots on the goal, and candidly on a lot of different fields. We'll take a look at what's ahead for AgCo Ventures. We'll do it right after this. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
A healthy company is a blessing, but a well-insured company is a necessity. That's why Indiana Farm Bureau offers more affordable health plans for eligible members. Whether you have just a handful of employees or a larger enterprise, building a stable business demands employees who are just as strong and healthy. Indiana Farm Bureau can help, with health plans that include medical, dental, vision, and Medicare supplement insurance plans. And you can sign up for membership and apply for an Indiana Farm Bureau health plan any time of year. Indiana Farm Bureau understands the cost of health care has rapidly become one of the largest expenses for many small businesses. We invite you to compare our health plans to your current coverage. We're confident you could find significant savings. To learn more about the health plan that's right for you, visit infbhealthplans.com and make the switch today.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience, talking with Alex Resimagno from AgCo Ventures. Alex, we've talked a lot about this evolution, this challenge that the market presents today for innovation and agriculture, just the overall headwinds. I have to imagine that as these headwinds emerge, opportunities emerge, and they may or may not shape the thesis of a corporate venture capital firm. Give me an idea of what is the thesis today of AgCo Ventures, and what are some of those things you're looking for?
The down cycle doesn't change our thesis. We're not taking our foot off the gas. If anything, we need to continue to fund this space to innovate quickly. We're just being smarter in how we're directing our effort. And venture is another tool in our toolkit that allows us to be more flexible and ensure that we're addressing the highest priorities for our customers. It also gives us a new perspective of what technologies and trends are emerging. And so when we think about direct investment, our focus is really on farmer-first solutions that support sustainable farming practices at every point of the crop cycle. So this includes areas like decision support, because farmers need to be able to plan, monitor, and analyze all aspects of their farming operation. So this includes technologies like farm management software, scouting, monitoring, and sensing technologies, soil and plant health, agronomic analysis, and connectivity. And then there's this area of workflow and execution, ensuring a job can be done, it's done right, and cost-effectively overall to drive productivity and income. And so that includes novel and more precise crop production technologies, autonomy, automation, robotics, UAVs, input and resource management, and logistics and fleet orchestration. And then a third pillar that we're focusing on is really this clean energy transition. We need to decarbonize our fleet. And so that includes infrastructure, power generation, electrification, and future fuels. But we don't know what we don't know. So while I just listed some suggested areas, we're always open to learning and connecting about capabilities shaping the future of farming and proactive thought leadership in the space.
Alex, we've talked this idea of connectivity to fields and farms and farmers, not just here in the U.S., all around the world. You have field teams that are out engaging with these farmers. What are you hearing are some of the challenges that are beginning to emerge that you feel like, hey, innovation could tackle these?
Farmers face significant pressure to produce more food, yet input costs are rising, farming acreage is decreasing, access to skilled labor is decreasing, and farming generally is just filled with uncertainty. So we are seeing this paradigm and demand shift to drive farmer productivity, income, and overall more confidence in farming outcomes. And so this means more emphasis on agronomy. Less focus on bigger, but rather the right machine or machines, demand for more proactive and less reactive operations, and less variability and more repeatability. So it's about giving farmers the tools they need to make more informed decisions and optimize outcomes that improve yield, efficiency, and minimize inputs, all with the overall goal of improving that net farm income. And an important last point I want to make on this topic is that if we are seeking tools and technologies that improve productivity, then those solutions in and of themselves need to be easy to use. They need to be frictionless, and they need to be at a price point that can actually achieve wide-scale adoption.
I think it's the filter of thinking through net farm income, right? This idea that, look, you can grow top line, but if bottom line doesn't move in the same direction, it becomes really, really tough, certainly in a headwind environment like we're in. Alex, you have a really unique perspective. It's been fun getting to know you. You've spent time at Bank of America. You spent time in the food industry and the food innovation industry. And now you're in AGCO Ventures. You're spending time with farmers. You're spending time with big horsepower equipment, doing a lot of fun things. What could we learn? What could the ag tech, the ag equipment industry learn from some of these other experiences that you're bringing to AGCO?
I really appreciate that, Mitch. So I started my career at Bank of America in their strategic investments group at a time when we were just emerging from the financial crisis. It's honestly not so dissimilar to where we are now in ag, with corporate balance sheets feeling pressure and a rise of new entrants. And in this case, it was fintech. And what I loved so much about my experience there was seeing firsthand how startups and corporates can effectively partner and develop these long-term, mutually beneficial relationships really through the power of partnership and investment. So again, a time where startups were emerging with really innovative, easy-to-use digital solutions that solved real customer pain points. But like farming, banking is also a low-margin, high-volume business. So startups needed incumbents' pipelines and their trusted relationships with customers to effectively scale. And incumbents needed that fresh talent and perspective and ability to see beyond the status quo, right? And so with that focus on minority investment, it allowed the startups to stay independent, not stifle innovation, and that enabled them to get to where they are and focus on their core competencies. And then through collaboration with the corporate, you can optimize those capabilities as part of a larger system and platform that ultimately generates a compounding value and an outcome. So I just love the spirit of identifying and exploiting this win-win. But I also had this yearning interest and passion for agriculture and sustainability and climate tech. And it was just an itch that I needed to scratch. So, and I'd only been an investor up to that point in my career. So it was super important for me to work in an early stage company and understand what those execution challenges of scaling businesses are. And just because I felt like a coach that had never been a player. So I went to grad school to make really an intentional pivot into the industry. And from there had the amazing opportunity to work at Appeal Sciences, which develops coding to extend the shelf life of fresh produce. And this experience was so fulfilling and enriching and most of all, very humbling. I started in strategy and then had an opportunity to do product management, where I focused on identifying real market problems and then guiding recommendations for new products, not only based on the demand or the magnitude of the problem, but if we can deliver a solution at a price that customers are willing to pay and then execute with efficacy and minimal friction to the producers. I finally got to get away from the desk and onto farms, talking to farmers, getting my hands dirty. And that's really where the real magic happens. You have to start with the customer first and their problems. And everything I just said about improving yield and minimizing waste, it sounds so basic, but it's true. It's the first thing they'll say. And I really believe AGCO's farmer first and farmer centric approach is really going to drive winning outcomes on that basis.
Well, I think you've seen it, whether it was in fintech at Bank of America, whether you're seeing it now at AGCO. Startups need two things. They need customers and they need capital. And when you begin to put yourself in the seat of a customer and really begin to understand the problems they face, the problems to be solved, the world becomes pretty clear pretty quick. And I think it's admirable, the work that you've done. And I love what you're bringing here to the ag bioscience economy. Maybe time for one last question. As we look to the future, Alex, we've seen a lot of things in this history of ag tech, ag bioscience innovation. Autonomy was a big piece. We've seen computer vision being a big piece. Now, on the plant science side, we've seen biologicals being a big piece. But as you look to this next chapter, what do you think are going to be the one or two or three big seismic changes, the big things that are going to drive innovation here in this next chapter of ag bioscience?
The first is agronomic analysis and recommendation. So it's not just about assisting the agronomist or the crop consultant, but turning data into really actionable insights. We've seen so many companies that can make beautiful maps, but there is this piece of friction of taking that and doing something with it. And so this just means identifying jobs that need to be done and actually driving work orders from the data that you're collecting and you're analyzing. The next is really logistics and fleet orchestration. We need to continue building this interoperable digital thread on the farm, connecting onboard and offboard throughout and beyond a farmer's operation. And this is just becoming more important and valuable, especially as foundational to autonomy and automation. Logistics is necessary to drive greater productivity and enable those capabilities. And then another is really plant and soil health. We have Radical Agronomics Suite by Precision Planting, which is the world's first fully automated soil lab, and additional tools for more precise and efficient soil sampling and nutrient management. So we're really interested in tools that can complement this platform and help us understand what is happening in the ground. What is the ground truth happening in the soil and the plants? Not just, I think that there's so much interesting and effective AI that's kind of extrapolating insights and signals that we're seeing, but novel technologies that help us get closer to what's really happening and get to those answers faster. And again, move from more reactive to proactive farm management. Everyone's going to win.
She is Alex Resimano, AgCo Ventures. Alex, it has been an absolute delight to spend time with you here on Ag Bioscience. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. And if any of your listeners are looking to get in touch with us, you can connect with us by emailing agcoventures@agcocorp.com. And Mitch, hopefully you can put those in the show notes. But yeah, hope to hear from some of your listeners. And it was just a pleasure to be here. So thank you so much.
I love it. Going for the close at the end. Well done, Alex. I love it. Thanks so much for joining us. And thank you for tuning in to Ag Bioscience. You can always get the latest Ag Bioscience news and insights from discussions just like this by subscribing wherever you get your podcast. And don't forget, you can always learn more online at agrinovusindiana.com. On behalf of the entire Agrinovus team, I'm Mitch Fraser saying thanks for joining us. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovus Indiana, hosted by Mitch Fraser, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you liked today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovusindiana.com.